The Dana Cortez Show podcast begins now.
Call us in the building. It's Mr. Mencia.
There he is.
So first of all, you don't get as far as you as Carlos Mencia has gotten in life, in comedy, in work, without being on time. You are on time, sir.
Really? Who's not on time right now? If you're not on time right now, seriously, just give up on life. You have nothing else to do right now. Nobody has anything else to do but to show up on time. How do you not show up on time? I mean,
I got a Zoom meeting. I'm ready.
But think about it. What would be the excuse? There's no traffic. There's nothing. The only thing that I would accept is, bro, I've been on lockdown and at home, you know, since March, and I had a big fight with my wife, my husband, my kids, my what? That I would accept. I will accept that. That's the only one I will accept. That's it.
Rappers give us the excuse of blunt time.
Nah, can't give an excuse of blunt time, because you know what? This is the one time, bro. High as hell. And everybody would be like, I understand. Even people that are anti-weed right now are like, you know what? Pass me that joint. I need it right now. Like everybody's there. So blunt time? Yeah, no, not an excuse. Only a big fight with somebody that you care about. Because let's be honest, bro. I don't care who you've been at stay at home with. I don't care. You hate them for a little bit every day. That's a fact. Dude, I swear to God, if I was right now, anybody was at home with Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, bro, at one point you would be like, dude, what is up with those chanclas? You're making noise every time you come by.
Stop. You and your staff, go to the other room.
Right, exactly. Kid, you go to the other room. What are you doing? This is, come on, Jesus. Stop it already.
Take your sheep with you. Take your damn sheep with you.
Exactly. It doesn't matter. It's, you know, and then hopefully you get past it, right? So I've been on lockdown so long that I went through I fell back in love with my wife, but it was like I missed, for the past 5 years, I've been performing pretty much 50, 51 weeks a year. So I've been on the road a lot. And my wife turned 40 recently. And I don't know if people know, but when women turn 40, they just get nasty. And I kind of miss that part of our life.
You mean like nasty in a good way?
Lockdown, bro. Oh my God. I was like, what, where did you buy that thing? You know what I mean? Oh my God.
Where did this freak come from?
I know. I was like, listen, I know that Black Lives Matter, but does it really have to be that big, babe? Come on, man. It was crazy. It's been crazy. I fell back in love, and then, you know, then it was kind of a little bit, then I had to deal with the kids. And then about 2 months into it, it was like, who's breathing? Who is breathing? I can hear you breathe. Stop breathing. You know what I mean?
So as a dad during COVID, what was the best part about being a dad, and what was the worst part about being a dad?
You know what was the best part? That I realized that reality, you know, it, and happiness are something that you have to want. And it was my 3-year-old, and it was a really simple moment. It was a really, really simple moment. Oh, I'll show you. So we were down there playing with this toy, and the sun sets that way. So you see the sun, it goes like that. It sets over there.
Yeah.
So it started getting kind of dark. And I said to my son, I go, it's getting dark. Let's go inside. And my 3-year-old son went, but the sun is out somewhere, Daddy. Let's just be happy. And I went, man, that is perfect. Like, he didn't care if we were going to be out there and not see the ball or not see what we were playing with. He was just like, we're playing. We're having fun. We got nothing better to do. Why are you picking an excuse to be unhappy? And I went, wow, you're so perfect. And I didn't, at the moment, it kind of hit me, right? And then about a day or two later, my wife was walking around. She was in a bad mood. And I go, what's going on? And she goes, I'm in a bad mood. And I looked at her and I said, no, you're not. Since we met, I have never been at home for over 2 weeks in a row, let alone 3 months in a row. Not only are you happy, But you're happy that I'm here. You're happy that the kids are here. And you're happy that we're a family in a way that we rarely get to be. We get to have a nice house like this, but we don't get to spend time together like this. And she went, oh, my God, you're right. I am so happy. I got lost for a second. And then she pulled
out. You did that Jedi mind trick on her. You turned it around.
What was that?
I said you did that Jedi mind trick on her. You reminded her, look at everything we have to be happy about.
Yeah, but that was from my son, who just, the three-year-old, who was just like, look, you know, this is the way life is, and that's the way it is, and that's the way I see it, and let's have fun, and let's enjoy life. And I went, wow, this is incredible. It's incredible. So that's the best part. The worst part is my 13-year-old hit puberty in February.
Oh,
we went into lockdown on March 5th or 6th. Like that we couldn't like leave the house in Los Angeles. So I went from before pre-COVID, dude, take a shower, bro. Jesus Christ, son, take a shower. You're outside playing, you're sweating, you need to take a shower. I went from that to, bro, how many baths are you going to take? Seriously, dude.
You know what he's doing there in the bathroom, though.
We all know. We all know.
Of course.
We get it.
Of course. And I'm just, my point to him is like, we know what you're doing. Find a different way to hide it. Like, I'm not saying don't. You know what I mean? And here's how cool of a dad I am. I said, hi, but look, because none of our doors have locks on them, except for, I think our bedroom has a lock, but all the other bedrooms don't have locks on them. So I personally put a thing and said, do not go in unless you knock. Just don't go in. Because I realized like what's going on, but my wife, dude, has no clue. She's still like, oh, that's not happening. And then the next day she's like, can somebody tell me why we have shampoo and no conditioner? I'm like, oh my God.
Oh my God.
Yeah. My wife actually said to me, she goes, hey, you got to go get some, Tenactin. And I go, Tenactin for what? She goes, you know, for athlete's foot. And I go, you got athlete's foot? And she goes, no, Lucas has athlete's foot. I go, how do you know? She goes, well, his socks are all crunchy. I'm like, oh, my God, you have no clue. No clue. She has no clue. No clue. No clue.
So who is washing your son's sheets?
She is.
Yeah, she is. But he's really smart, right? Because he doesn't get – the sheets are fine. And the socks now are fine because I kind of told him. So now he just takes like 4 to 6 baths a day.
Ay, Dios mio. No.
I don't mind. Here's the problem. We have a bunch of baths that are really big, right? Like all the bedrooms have really, except for one. One has kind of a small bath, and that's the bath that he uses. But that's also the bath that my wife uses to bathe the 3 month, the 3-year-old. So I'm like, babe, don't use the same bath. You know what I'm saying? It was like, it's a, you know, let me put it to you this way. The other day, I don't know that I could even say it. How do I say it? Okay, so we were bathing my son, and in the middle of it, there was like a booger on his forehead. And I was like, oh, man, did you clean this bath before?
Yeah.
So it was a booger.
Okay.
This is like scared straight for parenting. I don't want to ever have kids.
Hey, you asked what's the worst part. I could lie to you and tell you something else.
You have to talk about it. I mean, your wife, no mother wants to think about their children in these acts. No more than we want to think about our own parents in these acts. The parents, you know, that's how we got here. Especially mom. We don't want to think of our babies, our innocent babies, doing these things, thinking about these things. It's just, it's not okay for us moms. You know, so I feel for her. But you at least talk to him, right?
My father made me order Viagra for him.
Oh.
For your dad? For your papa?
he's hitting his 80s, and he goes, oh, yeah, mijo, you have a doctor friend, right? I got a lot of doctor friends. give me those pills, mijo, the blue pills, you know, give me the blue pills. And I was like, are you sure, dad? Because, you know, you're old, so can your heart take it? Are you fine? So, he went and, you know, he showed me his checkup. I called his doctor. The doctor said, fine. And I got him some Viagra. So, yeah, exactly.
Does he have a, who is this, your mom? Is this a girlfriend? What's going on here with Pops?
No, it's my mom. Him and my mom are tearing it up. Good for them. I'm happy for them, man. I'm happy for them.
Why?
Why would you not? Why? Listen, seriously. I mean, you know, they're you know, they're late 70s, early 80s. You know what I mean? They're getting
let
there.
Let them live. Yeah, let
if
them
they
live.
Can, if they can still live, go for it, man.
Hold on, Carlos. I have a serious question. Did you ask your mom if she wanted your dad to take these pills?
Because... You know what? I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. I could not do it. I wanted to, but you know what I mean? I could kind of be, you look, as a guy, you could be dirty with your dad because dads make comments when you're a kid. You know what I mean? They still drink and say stupid things or tell stories about before he met my mom. You know what I mean? Yeah. I don't know that I could look at my mother in the eye and go, hey, mom, is it okay if dad has a stiffy for 4 hours? I don't know if I could do that. I don't know if I could do that. I don't know if I can
because
look at my
mom.
Because
she might not be happy about it, but it's too late now. So it's too late.
Oh, no. Well, listen, I was scared too, but I know for a fact that she's happy because about 3 days after I got him the pills, since then, she makes me breakfast every single day. So she comes down from the other house, bro. She shows up with chilaquiles, and I'm like, oh, thanks, mama. She, the other day, I swear to God, I go, thanks, mama. She went, oh, no, thank you. I was like, what? And I know that what she's trying to say, because my dad's in the corner giving me a look like, hey, that's your father, mijo. That's your father. Like, just proud, right? So that, I mean, but, you know, I mean, it's life, man. It's just a different version of life than we're used to, you know what I mean? But I did get out last week. I did a weekend in San Antonio. I performed over there, and you know, social distancing, of course, only like I think it's about 30-40% capacity. Just like this weekend, only a certain amount of people in. And you know, these are the people that want to go out. Like for me personally, I already got it, so I've actually donated plasma so that the antibodies can help somebody else. Hopefully,
Good for you.
I'm just hoping that my blood. Doesn't carry any of my personality traits because it's going to be weird when some dude from Alabama gets my blood and he has no idea it was mine and he's going to call it. He's going to be looking at his kids going, hey, stop being a thief. And he's going to be like, what the hell?
Hey, Carlos, how does it feel to be back in the comedy rooms post COVID? Does the audience seem more eager for laughter or?
Best audiences ever. Just, they want to go out, you know, they're very young. They're just those people that are like, you know, I want to go out. I want to have fun. Or I want to live, whatever that is for them. Great, great, great audiences. And for me, it's amazing. Listen, so here's what happened. I've done 2 weeks in a row. The first week I was in Miami, and the shows that I did in Miami were awesome. But I had written all this material about staying at home, COVID-19, all that kind of stuff. And believe it or not, it was about an hour and 25 minutes long. The problem was that COVID wasn't that important, or at least as important as the Black Lives Matter thing and all the protests and all that came afterward.
Right, right.
So what happened was it was funny, but it wasn't as relevant as I'm used to. It wasn't as pointy. If you've ever seen me, I always leave you thinking about something. And this was just a bunch of stories to tell that were fun, but not really gripping. So then I had to write another about 45 minutes the next week to kind of accommodate the feeling of people, you know what I mean? What's important to them. And so last week in San Antonio, it was different. It was very real. It was very about ethnicity and dealing with all that stuff. And it was great and funny. And you know, we had a great mix. There were, you know, African Americans and every single mix. So I was able to kind of talk about, like, I was able to say, there was this really cool moment where I go, listen, white people in here, raise your hand if you've ever been driving and you didn't do anything wrong. Like, you literally don't say, I didn't. If you were going 40 miles an hour on a 35, you were still speeding. I'm saying that you ever got pulled over and you're like, why did you pull me over? I was doing nothing wrong. Raise your hand if that's ever happened to you. And nobody raised their hand. And I go, so to people of color, raise your hand if you've ever been pulled over for just being in the wrong place at the wrong time, driving the wrong car, had an officer pull you over and say, what are you doing here? And the amount of people that raised their hand, it was so awesome to see white America look at that right there at that moment, not on TV, not about protests, but people that they're sitting next to enjoying a comfortable time with and go, oh my God, pretty much every single person of color raised their hand. And when I went, how many have been two? How many have been three? How many have been four? Like almost no hands went down. And so I was able to talk about, you know, the fact that this is a good time for us, you know, for us as people and us as Latinos too, to specifically be honest about, you know, our thing. And so I was able to say, listen, this is the time where we try to get rid of that little part of us that doesn't, that we don't know is racist. And I looked at the audience and I said, I bet you everybody in this room has a black friend that when you describe him to other people and then they go, he's black. You go, yeah, he's black, but he's not like black like that. And everybody just saw, I saw in their faces, not only their laughter, but that moment of like, oh my God, I've done that before. What does it mean he's not black? And then I could make fun of the fact that, you know, an exaggerated, you know, whatever, pants down, yay, yay, all that stuff. But it's so cool to make people laugh and make people think at a time when everything is so divisive, everything is so divided. You know, you're either for the cops or against the cops. And that's not the way it is. You know what I mean?
It's not. I'm so glad you said that, Carlos, because wanting for police officers to follow the law does not mean you're against police officers. We thank officers. You have a very dangerous job. But like you said, you are a brown man in America, black men in America. They're just treated differently. And especially black people, whether you're Afro-Latino, African-American, whatever the case is, it's a minority that's treated differently than even other minorities. And we have to be able to say that. We have
and
to
not only that, but like it's like when people go, well, the guy that pulled you over was like, you know, sometimes somebody, I remember I was talking to somebody and they go, well, what kind of cop was it? I go, oh, it was a Mexican cop. And they go, so you're complaining that a Mexican cop was racist to you? And I was like, Mexican cops are worse to Latinos. They're not nicer to us. Anytime I've ever been pulled over by a Latino cop and a white cop, it's always a white cop that's next to me going, I get it, bro. You know, don't worry. It's all going to be good. It's like the Latino cop that's mad. That's like, why are you here? What are you doing here? Literally, seriously. 2 weeks ago, my brother, who lives right near the projects where we grew up, but across the street. So across the street from the projects where I grew up, East LA College, right? So it's Montevideo Projects. You can Google them. Right across the street on Floral is in a pretty decent middle class, upper middle class neighborhood. That's where my brother lives. On the other side of the street is literally the projects. So I drive a Ford F-150. That's what I drive. My wife drives a 2020 Mercedes GLS, right? Now, I'm not saying this to brag. I'm just telling you so you understand. The car is worth probably, I think, $128,000. Seriously, no joke. So my brother calls me. I'm on the way to his house. And he goes, hey, pick up some ice on the way here. And I go, oh, yeah, cool. So I pulled in to get ice. I get the ice, right? The store is around the corner, right in between, like, the hood and not the hood. And as I'm getting in my car, after I put the ice in the back, a cop pulls up. And it stops right in front of me. Goes, hey, what are you doing here? And I looked at him and I went, listen to me, bro. I'm not telling you that I don't do drugs. I'm not telling you that I'm clean or perfect. But I'm telling you, look at the car that I'm driving. Do you really think I'm here to buy some stepped on crap hood crack that is probably going to kill me laced with fentanyl? I said, no, bro. I swear to God, I go, I live in Encino. And if you want to catch me with really good pure stuff, find me over there and pull me over there. That's when you're probably going to get me. And it was like, you know what I mean? It was that moment of like, really, dude? Like, you're really going to ask me what I'm doing here? Like, what are you trying to say? That I can't have family that live here? I can't have friends that live here? What if I'm visiting people that I grew up with? You know what I mean? Like, that's just...
Like, you're pulling in to make that drug deal. When you're really pulling in for some damn ice to go see your hermano in his house.
For ice. And then when I told the story to all my paisa friends, they got mad at first because I said I went to go get ice and they were like, why are you getting ice? I'm like, yellow, bro, yellow, like the frozen water. The whole family was like, Carlos is betraying us. He's getting ice. He's getting ice. I'm like, no, that's not what happened.
Not that ice.
You're like, that's not it. It's encouraging. It's encouraging to hear you say that you were able to talk about these issues and shed light on them and make people think, but also take us away from this place of anxiety and help people laugh, Carlos. And that's what I think truly needs to happen. We got to bring people together. These conversations have to be had with people that don't necessarily even agree with what we're talking about in order to force real change. They have to happen. We have to have a dialogue amongst each other. And comedy and laughter is the best way to make it happen.
And not just that, but you know what? It's what, here's the problem with people right now, right now. Everything is either or. Everything is one side or the other. It's either, you know, it's either stay home or, you know, go out and, you know, do nothing. Because I was in Texas and listen, people were referring to me with some really pretty harsh names because I was walking around with a mask everywhere I went. Everywhere I went, I was wearing a mask. And nobody there was really wearing a mask. So they were like, why are you wearing a mask? I'm like, dude, because there's COVID out there. Like, I'm, you know, I don't know if I have it or not, but why would you not wear a mask? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so it's not either or. You can try to do both. It's, you know, I can try to entertain you, but I'm not going to make as much money because I can't fill up the room because I don't want people to be sitting next to each other unless you came together. You know, so there's the world is not either or. It's not like, here, I'll give you an example. I think that America is the greatest country in the world. As a matter of fact, I travel. I know America is the greatest country in the world. That doesn't mean it's perfect. My parents are amazing parents. I could still show you scars on my back where they hit me a little too hard sometimes. It doesn't mean that they were bad parents. You know, there's a middle ground, you know, and this is what a lot of people don't want to, like, I heard this, I'm not even going to say his name, but I heard a politician who's black say, you know, there's not a lot of endemic racism in America. And then he proceeded to say that even though he doesn't believe there's racism in America, that he gets pulled over by the cops at least 10 times a year. And I'm like, what he should have said is there's not a lot of it, but it still happens because this happens to me. But there's this whole drive to be either or and this or that. And you have to be for Trump or against Trump. You have to be. It doesn't work that way in real life. In real life, it's like I said earlier, I fell in love with my wife again. I thought it was amazing. And then I hated her for 2 weeks. And then I love her again. You know what I mean? That's reality, dog. That's realness. And, you know, so what do we do? Well, we do in the house when we're together. Once a day for 1 hour, and everybody can do whatever they want. My 13-year-old son can do whatever he wants for 1 hour. He can get away. He can disappear. He can hide. He doesn't have to do chores. He picks the hour. My wife, you could do whatever you want. Call your friends. Do a video call. Whatever you want to do. You know, whatever I want to do for that 1 hour. And it, for us, it helps us kind of like, you know, still feel like I got my own life, but we're still here together. And, you know, so everybody has their own tricks, man. Everybody has their own thing, but. You know.
Who's more excited for you to get out of the house this weekend, you or them?
Definitely you know what?
Her. I'm going to tell you, his wife is.
Yeah, she is, dude. She is. But it's really funny because she's kind of happy that I'm leaving. And then the day, like the next day, she's all like, I miss you so much. Where are you? Wow. And I'm like.
That's
but yesterday, true. Yeah, the day before, she was practically pushing me out the door, like, you gotta go. Look at the time. You gotta get out.
Miss your plane.
Yeah, then by the time I get there, it's like, where are you? I love you so much. No, those aren't hard. The hard ones are like the 3-year-old. That's the hard one. The 13-year-old, aww. He's different. You know, he's being independent. You know, so I call him up and I go, I love you, Dad. And he's like, all right, whatever. You know what I mean? He's not there. You know how 13-year-olds are. But my 3-year-old, bro, oh, he'll get out. Like, I'll do a FaceTime, and then he'll look right in and go, Daddy, where are you? I go there now, Daddy. I go there now, Daddy. And I'm just like, oh, dude, that hurts so bad. But, you know, we
bring him this week. And I'll watch them while you and Cisco doing your thing on the stage at the Stand Up Live.
Yeah. See, here's the problem. I would bring them, but the last thing I need is somebody to be like, not only did Carlos come, but he brought his kid and blah, blah, blah. And you know how people are. Dude.
He could get infected. He's bringing a flight during a pandemic. You know, one of the things you said, Carlos, I thought was so great. You use the analogy as your parents. I try to use that analogy with children. The reason we correct our children and we want them to be better is because we love them. That's the same with America. That's the same with America. It's the best, but we can always do better. And we still have a long way to go, man. Come on. Come on. But
not only that, it's just, you know what? People just don't know how to say I was wrong or that changed my mind. But there's, it's also how you look at life, right? How you look at life. Like, here's part of the way I see it. Part of me was pissed off, right? When this whole thing started with Floyd, I was pissed off because it was like, we've been telling you for years that this has been going on.
Decades.
No, listen, 50 years ago, Richard Pryor did a joke where he got pulled over by the cops. And in the joke, he's like, officer, I'm reaching for my wallet, because he doesn't want to get shot. All right. So this is a joke 50 years ago that we were talking. So I was pissed at first because I was like, oh, my God. America, or pretty much white America, didn't believe us when we told them that this was happening this whole time. And through Garner and through everybody else, they just thought, oh, that happens. It took Floyd for them to, like, really wake up. Like, that's what it took, you know? And then I realized, or I changed my mind, because I thought, you know what it is? The majority of people, specifically white, are not racist. And they don't operate in a racist way. They don't think in a racist way. They just couldn't believe that people would do this. They didn't believe that a cop was like that. They did what? Come on. What did the guy do? Because before this, it was like, well, what did the guy do? It's like the guy with the taser. Well, he shot a taser at him and he was running away. But how do you know? There's always some excuse. Well, why didn't he just do it? Gardner was the first time where they went, he wasn't doing anything for 8 minutes. They do this? Oh my God. They are racist sometimes. And that, to me, is a beautiful thing, because what it says is that the majority of white America are not racist enough to believe that that kind of racism was there. And if you look at who's protesting out there, the majority of them are not African Americans. The majority of them are white people out there. And
that shows how far we've come. It legitimately does. When you go back and look at those pictures of protests in the 50s and 60s, there's no white arms up anywhere.
Right.
It's just not. It's only people of color, and mainly African Americans.
And you know what's funny is that, and I told this to the crowds last week. I go, you know, as a person of color, it's so cool to see white people before, but it's always like we threw a party and the cops showed up. And then the cops come, and the minute the cops come, my white friends are like, no, this is BS. You don't know. You don't come. And I'm sitting there like, dude, they're going to hit me, not you, bro. Please shut up and be nice. But now it's like so cool. You know, you go to a rally and white people are like, I'm going to the front. And you're like, do it, bro. Go for it.
Go for it.
It's so cool, right? To see a white girl get shot with that rubber bullet and crying, and they're pouring milk on her, and then they go right back in, and I'm like, oh my God, it is, they're doing it for me. They're doing it for me. It's so cool to see that, you know. And it's like I said, I apologize to the younger generations, because I've done jokes about how lazy they are, but more importantly, how, you know, they think that everything is owed to them. You know what I mean? It's like this entitlement issue. And I make jokes about it. But go figure, man. This, in my opinion, kids who are entitled changed this world. And they did it because, unlike us, right? I was there during the 1992 riots that we thought it was going to change. And the other riots, we thought things were going to change. And the other riots. And so people like me are like, I've seen this before. Is it really going to change? But it is, because young people are like, hey, no. We're entitled to have Black friends and Latino friends. And we're entitled them not to die. And we're entitled for them not to treat us like that. And we're entitled for you not to treat them like that. That entitlement has led to this change. I mean, and if people don't think this is real change, they're crazy. NASCAR banned Confederate flags. That is so, seriously, like, of all the things that you told me would have happened, I would never, ever, no Confederate flags
at a NASCAR,
man. That's like saying you can't wear boots at a cockfight. It's just not, you can't, it's unreal. Unbelievable, man. It is unbelievable.
Oh my God.
And now, you know what's going to happen? Some racists are not going to want to go anymore. Oh, this is how gangster NASCAR is. Not only did NASCAR say Confederate flags are banned, but there's a guy, and I don't know his name on purpose, but it's like Conatelli or Bernatelli or something like that. He's a NASCAR driver who said, if you guys ban Confederate flags, I quit. And this is how gangster NASCAR is. They tweeted him back. Hey, by the way, who are you? We had to Google you. We don't know who you are.
The shade! The shade!
It's crazy, man.
It's mind-boggling that anybody will want to be proud about a flag they lost. You fucking lost, man. Like, what are you doing?
Listen, I get it. What are you doing? I've been doing a joke about that. I've been doing a joke about that for a long time. But not only that, like the forts. There are 11 forts named after generals or stuff from the South, right? Like Fort Bragg and et cetera, et cetera. And for me, it's like, I don't care. I don't care that it's the Confederate. I don't care about that. What I care about is you're literally telling me to send my soldiers to a name of a fort that lost. It's like, what am I supposed to tell them? Hey, when you go out there, you do like Bragg and lose. Like, what? That doesn't even make sense. Oh. Like, nobody wants to be the Buffalo Bills. They got to the Super Bowl 5 times and lost. Nobody wants to be that. But, you know, we're going to see how real this change is, you know, when the football goes back. And are they still going to call them the Redskins? Which,
we'll
Redskins
see.
Is a negative, you know, yeah. it's pretty much
a racial slur. To Native Americans. It's a racial slur. And for people saying it's just a name, it's just that. No. In order to progress, in order to change, you know, in a positive way, we've got to move away from those racial slurs. They're not acceptable. It's not okay. It's a team name. We can change it and still love the team. I mean, yeah. Come on.
Well, listen, and this is in Washington, where they changed the name of the Washington Bullets to the Washington Wizards because so many black kids were getting shot at the time that they thought it's insensitive. So how can you not do that same thing for the Native Americans? And, you know, look. This is America, man. I mean, we've all benefited from America, but you know, as people of color, you know, we still live in this. And sometimes, here's what it is. As a person of color, and you might understand this. Some people don't get it when I say this. All of us, people of color, pretty much get the chance to succeed. We're all given a chance to succeed, but we're not given a chance to fail. And that is when America is going to be a different country, when we can fail. When you can hire a black person and they're not good at their job and you fire that black person and then you hire another black person instead of saying, well, we tried, but it didn't work out because of one person. You know, whether you like Obama or not, he was one of the most intelligent people that has run our country.
Ever.
Would a black or brown person who had the intellect of or sounded like Donald Trump or Bush, would that person become president in this country?
No.
So we have to be perfect and we have to succeed. Because if you don't succeed on morning radio and you don't do good, you know, guess what? We tried the whole Latina thing and you know what? Females don't work. The Latinas don't work. We're going to go back to the old formula and get the white guy with the black guy and the woman in the background. Hey, let's do that show and put it back together. Let us fail. Let me suck at my job and it be about me, Carlos, not about every Latino, not about every single person out there. And when that happens, then we'll live in a different place. But right now, it's the change and we don't know where it's going to land right now. That's the beauty of it. You know what I mean? It changes every single day, some for the better and some scary because we're seeing things that, you know, now that we're just not used to seeing on a constant basis. And because people are at home, they got nothing better to do but to watch the news and see all the craziness and break the footage down and see what's going on. And it's a trip, man, but it's beautiful for me. Because I want to say something.
I don't want to lose this. I want to thank you for that I want to get too emotional, but you saying that for any Latina, for African American women, for any woman of color, I don't have the luxury to fail. I've seen men fail their way to promotions, and for you just to say that, it means a lot to me. So thank you very much for acknowledging that.
But most people don't know that, because most people see the opposite, right? Most people go, oh, she got her shot, she should be happy. And it's like, well, first of all, it's not about being happy. It's about, we get shots because we deserve them, not because somebody just gave them to us. It's not like we suck at what we do. When you come to see me perform, I make you laugh. And if you don't laugh, I bet you everybody around you is laughing. But what I'm saying is, you know, if I go to perform in Montgomery, Alabama, and I don't sell a lot of tickets, that's Carlos that didn't sell a lot of tickets. That's not the Latino community in its entirety. I'm sure there are people that could go out there that'll kill, but don't say to the next person. So now if I go to a club for the first time ever, or to a city where they've never had a Latino, I not only have to be funny, I have to sell out, I have to do everything else just so that they bring the next guy back, just so that the next guy gets a chance. And that's the kind of pressure that people don't understand. Like, your success is not only your own. Your success is going to lead the way for them to give another Dana, or give another Angelica, or give another whoever. But you still have to kill and rock it, or else they're going to go back to the old tried to formula. You know, it's like when our president says that, you know, there's not a lot of systemic racism, and then there's nobody of color in the picture, and there's 12 white men. And
this entire cabinet.
Yeah, you're showing it right there, dude. You're telling me that there's not a black person that could do this? Are you crazy? But, you know, these are the things that we are now paying attention to, like anything else, right? It's kind of like when you're addicted and to drugs. And at first, it's the really big things, the really big traumas, the really, what made you want to do it? What is it? It's a big... And the further on you go, the smaller the things get. You know what I mean? And I think that's where we are with this racism thing, where it's like, we're getting to the little things. We're getting to the, if your name is ethnically black, like Terrell or Jarrell or Tamika or Laquanda, and people see your resume, 63% chance less of getting a callback just because your name sounds that black. Those are the little things that most people will be like, oh, damn, really? But a lot of us wouldn't even think about it. A lot of us would just kind of go, oh, yeah, well, it's not, you know, we don't see. So now we get to see this stuff. Now is the time where, like you said, you know what I mean? Hey, our son is 13. He's doing crazy things. Let's go wash his sheets without him knowing, so he doesn't feel embarrassed, because we know what's happening. You know what I mean? And it's real time. It's time for all of that. And it's not a bad time. You know what I mean? It's a great time. It's a time to say, if I did it, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do it. I'm my bad. And if you didn't do it, go, I was aware of this before, but I'm glad everybody is awakening. Whatever it is, man, America is getting better right now at this very moment. And you know, good things are happening. Look at the Supreme Court the past 2 days. You know what I mean?
Look at DACA.
Everybody was scared. But that's what I'm saying. Everybody was scared that it was going to get conservative, that they were just going to go. And two of the conservative judges said, no, you can't fire somebody for being gay or trans or LGBTQ+. If we would have had this conversation before, we would have all said, oh, that's not going to go, those conservative judges. DACA, they said that the president can't undo DACA the way he did. I never would have thought that those conservative judges would have done that, but it's our label. See, we labeled them conservative. We labeled them before they even made a decision. We said, oh, look at how they are. Look at what they're going to do. And now it's like, see, human beings, man, let them be. Tell them the truth. Let them see your pain. And the majority of us will do the right thing. We will do the right thing, because we're about love. This is where we live, man. That's what those protests are about. You know what I mean? Love. It's about going out there and defending each other and being there for each other. I mean, this is a time where it's like, it's crazy. And I'm in Los Angeles, right, where, like, everybody wears masks no matter what, and you know what I mean? And everybody, you know, some people, and we do it for the other person. We're doing it for them. It's like, look, I'm wearing a mask for you. And it's just a cute, it's just a great time to be an American, you know? It's a beautiful time to see this change, and I get to talk about it and make people laugh and make people think and make people absorb and make people see things that they didn't see or hear things they didn't hear or put a little twist on something that's going to make it easier for you to listen to. It's beautiful, man. It's a good time. It's a good time.
This weekend, you're going to be. Effie, talk about what are people got to do to see the show?
StandUpLive.com, 7 p.m., 9:45, and then 7 p.m. on Sunday. Or is it CarlosMencia.com?
Or CarlosMencia.com, whatever you want. We're good.
And enjoy your 3-year-old and your 13-year-old in between his extracurricular activities. And we will see you this weekend, sir. Thank you. It's always a great time with you. Lucy Foss, love and light. Fam, man, we love you. Thank you so much, guys, man.
Be well. Be safe, guys.
The Dana Cortez Show Podcast.